You know, this morning, I wanted to talk about facing life's challenges. And I think it would be an understatement to say that we as a people, whether it be us, our community, our state, our nation, our world, has gone through one heck of a challenge this past year. It's actually an understatement. We've had people in our congregation who lost loved ones due to the pandemic. Tremendous loss. And so I believe that for many people, what we've gone through this past year with COVID may have been the greatest challenge that some of us have ever faced. And so I don't take that lightly, and that's why this morning we're back in church again, and I wanted to touch on a subject or go in a direction that's going to be an encouragement to all of us as we start off again on a new journey together. Because we started out with live worship, well, we shut down, then we started, then we were told to shut down again, and I tell you, it's going to take an awful lot to get me to shut down again. Because, you know, it's so good to have you guys back in church. I just can't express that enough. We truly need one another. I think it's what keeps us going, and it keeps us connected. And I know live streaming was a big help, and I get that. And there's people still watching online, as I welcomed them before. But I don't think anything can replace when we gather together as the family of God. Amen? Amen. You know, it's never easy when we face trials in life. Unless some of you find it easy when a trial comes your way. Some of us have faced trials more difficult than others. I understand that. This past week, a dear friend of mine, a colleague, Bob Walker, who is the assistant to the bishop, went to his son's apartment and discovered that his son had passed away, 38 years old. And Bob announced his retirement this coming June. He was going to retire, and they had all these plans after, 40-plus years of ministry. And yesterday was the funeral in Connecticut, and what a tragedy. When you talk about a trial, that's a real trial when you lose somebody that you love. You know, I've read this morning's text from James thousands of times. I've gone through the book of James so many times, and sometimes it's tough to swallow Scripture. You know, when you read Scripture, you say, well, wait a minute. We're going through a tough time and we're traversing through some troubled waters and we're really, really challenged. And then James comes up and he says, consider it a pure joy when you go through trials of many times. And you have to give it a second look. Wait a minute, James, what did you just say? Joyful? A pure joy when I'm going through all kinds of trials of many kinds? And I've always said this, and I've preached on this text, I guess, many times over my years in the ministry. If we're to count it a pure joy when we go through all of these trials, my answer to James is, don't make me so happy. Don't make me so joyful. But he's getting to another point. Is it possible to still maintain one's joy when we're challenged? And James says it is. You know, some people, their trials are a molehill, and to others, it's a mountain. But I never take a trial that a person's going through lightly, because we all have our trials. And no matter what size the trial is, it's a trial to you. It's a trial to me. It's a trial to that person out there. And I don't make light of that at all. So I decided to preach on this topic this morning. Why? Because We're gathered back in this church together doing live worship once again. We've come out of a tremendous trial. In fact, we're still coming out of a tremendous trial with COVID. Hopefully, many of you got your vaccines. Some of you may not want to be vaccinated. I'm not pushing it. I can tell you my wife and I got both doses of Moderna. And, you know, I wanted to start our journey off this morning with our first Sunday back with something that's going to lift us up, something that we could take with us when we leave church today and say, you know what? What did he say? Yeah, maybe I need to apply this in my life because of what I'm going through. You see, trials have a tremendous effect on our lives. If you've been through a real strong trial, you know what I'm talking about. It has the power to either make us, or a trial can have the power to break us down. So how do we react to trials? I think that's what James is asking in his discourse this morning. How do we handle the trials that we're going through as an individual, or maybe a family, or possibly even a church, or a community, or a nation? I've met good and honest people who have dealt with trials by drinking or taking drugs. I've met other good and decent people who start a shopping frenzy to appease the pain they're going through, to numb that pain, and so the Amazon truck is at their house four times a day. Others overeat. They wind up making more trips to the kitchen because they're going through a trial. They're depressed. Or some stop eating and they begin to lose weight. Some veg out on television or Netflix and don't even get out of bed because they're so overwhelmed by their trial. And I fully appreciate that. People deal with life's challenges, or they fail to deal with life's challenges in many different ways. Some even deny that they're going through a trial. They're in denial. Sort of like a stick in your head in the sand. And in fact, the trial is right before you. Now, I've mentioned James, the writer of our text this morning, and how it may be a little difficult to swallow all the joy that he's talking about when we're facing trials. However, I've come to the conclusion that either God is a liar and James is out of touch with reality, or there's something truly extraordinary that happens in the life of a believer when he or she faces trials that come our way. So juxtapose that for me. Either we're going to deny it, that we can maintain a joy and a peace when we're going through a trial, not that it's any less of a trial, but that we can maintain this joy and peace, or this is nonsense in the Bible and we completely reject it. The question is, do our trials strengthen and develop our faith, or does it wear us down and weaken our faith? I've had people say to me, where is God? And last week in my message, I told you I had said that once. Where are you, God? Why are you allowing this to happen? Okay? So your faith is going to either be challenged, that's going to grow you stronger, or it's going to make you weaker in your faith. Can we really count it a joy when we go through these situations? Let's take a look at this for a moment, very quickly. I got 3 points. One is, trials are universal. No one's exempt from trials. Everybody, as long as we have breath in our lungs, will face trials in this life. Some, of course, will face more trials than others. I get that. But I've searched the scriptures. I've gone through from Genesis to Revelation. And I have failed to find where it says that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you will never face a trial in your life. It never says that. So now we have motorcycles, fire trucks. We didn't have that. I don't know what's going on. It's a conspiracy. Devil, I bind you in the name of Jesus.
It's a trial.
It's a trial. Amen. Be joyful. Thank you, fire department and motorcyclist. But we all experience trials. It's universal. Okay? James experienced them. He knew what trials were like. It wasn't easy for him to be the brother of Jesus. Could you imagine being the kid brother of Jesus? And then when Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected, James became, by the way, this is one of the oldest texts in the New Testament. James becomes the head of the church in Jerusalem. And we all know what happened with Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. He had a warrant to hunt down, arrest, and persecute believers in Jesus Christ. James did not have an easy life as the head of the church in Jerusalem, this new movement of followers of Christ. And so he knows what he's talking about when he talks about trials. He's not sitting up in some place where he's exempt from trials. He knew very well what trials were like. And so James is saying, even though, count it a pure joy. You know, Norman Vincent Peale, I've read a lot of his works, he once said this: there's only one group of people who don't have any problems. They're all dead. Everybody has problems. And one thing I've recognized over the years in ministry, you could be sitting next to somebody in church, and they look perfectly fine, but they're going through something. The person to your right, the person to your left, the person in front of you, behind you. We never know what an individual's going through in his or her life. But trials, unfortunately, yes, they're universal, and they face every single person who's alive. Secondly, trials can have a useful purpose. What do I mean by that? James says the testing of your faith develops perseverance. There's another translation that says the testing of your faith develops patience. Does anybody here need more patience in your life? How come you're hitting your husband? Stop it. We could all use more perseverance and patience in our lives. Patience and perseverance are those qualities that help us cope when we're under pressure. When we're under pressure, we need to remain calm, cool, and collected. And that's what James is talking about. Athletes, when they're going through their training, they put a tremendous amount of pressure on their bodies so that they're able to compete well. So they pressure their bodies with weightlifting and running and exercising. And it's through that pressure on their bodies that grows their stamina so that they can get through the race or the fight or the game or whatever it is they're competing in. And one thing I've learned over the years, I've been around long enough to say this, life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. It's a long race. If you try to sprint through this life, you're not going to make it. We will fall flat on our face. It's slow but easy. It's the tortoise versus the rabbit. And I've got two tortoises at home. And they're slow. But they're steady. It's a marathon. So James states that trials not only build up patience and perseverance, but it makes us also more mature in our faith. And I found that true in my own life. God wants to develop spiritual maturity in our lives. Now, we could tell people that we have faith, right? We could say, okay, I'm a person of faith. But what happens when the bottom falls out of our lives? What happens when everything around us seems to be on shaky ground? That's the real test of faith, isn't it? Do we cling to our faith or do we fall away from our faith? We know personal faith is so important, but let me tell you something. It's equally important to stay connected to a faith community, just like we are this morning. You know, no person is an island. We need each other. And that's why there was so much excitement this morning in the atmosphere of our sanctuary this morning. Even when I was in my office, I could hear laughter and talking, and because it lifts us up to be around other believers, to be connected to a faith community like we are this morning. You know, Hebrews chapter 10, it encourages us not only to hold on to our personal faith, but Hebrews chapter 10 says, as we hold on to our faith, we're to spur others and encourage others. We're to lift others up as well. So it's not just that we're doing okay and we're persevering and we've got patience, but that we're going to help somebody else get across that finish line as well. You know, if one thing I know about being a New Yorker is that New Yorkers have strong personalities. You know, if you go like down south or the Midwest, they could always tell New Yorkers that are eating in a restaurant. They're loud and so forth in general. And they always say, oh, those folks must be from New York. And we're known to be strong. New Yorkers could handle things. It's very little that could shake and rattle a New Yorker. And I get that. We could be very independent. But that's not how Christianity and following Jesus Christ is all about. We need other people. We can't remain isolated. I think that was one of the biggest complaints that I heard from people during this COVID. We felt very isolated and alone and locked up and separated from one another. And it's horrible because God never meant it to be that way. We need each other. We were created to be in fellowship. And that's what Hebrews chapter 10 says. We are the church. We're a team. We work together to win. So trials can have a useful purpose when we go through them. And they're also universal. And lastly, trials help us to understand things from God's perspective. Now listen, it's really impossible to know the completeness of God's perspective in this life. One day we're going to cross over and everything's going to be revealed, and all the questions that you have and all of those doubting things, and I have a whole list of questions I want to ask God. But as long as we're in this life, we won't have a full perspective of God, but we can have some perspective of God. Because remember, the Bible says, His thoughts are not our thoughts, and His ways are not our ways. God is God, and we're not God. From my perspective, many times the trials that I go through, I stamp my feet and say it's unfair. It's unreasonable. Why am I going through this? What did I do wrong, God? Why are we facing this as a family or whatever? And oftentimes it's through my trials that God is trying to teach me something. I'm like that stubborn horse, you know. Sometimes I got to get hit over the head a few times, more than probably most of you. But God's trying to teach me something through that trial. And that something is often teaching me how to rely on God when I'm going through that trial. And not get on the phone and call everybody and try to read a book or try to figure everything out on my own. It's like when I'm going through that trial, the best thing I could do, and I'm talking about me, is stop and seek God and say, Lord, I can't handle this. It's too big. It's too big for me. I can't shoulder this. I need your help. And he's trying to teach us that turn to him because you can't do it on your own. And that's why I love when the psalmist says, I cried out unto the Lord, and he heard my voice, and he turned to me. And he reached down, and he pulled me out of my trial, and he put my feet on a solid ground, and he put a new song in my heart. That's what God wants. God wants for us to say, God's not punishing us. God is saying, turn to me, and I'll give you the perseverance. I'll give you the patience. I'll give you the endurance. I'll give you the peace that you need in life. See, because God sees the bigger picture. We only see a glimpse, a small section of the whole picture, but God sees it all. I have found that my trials have brought me closer to God, not further away from Him, and helped me in return to help somebody else, to give a lending hand to somebody else who might be going through a trial. Maybe a trial that I went through is an experience that I could help somebody else get through. Some of the greatest counselors for drug and addiction help are individuals who struggled with it themselves. And they're able to say, listen, there is a way out. I went through it. And that person can relate. And I do very well with cops that way. You know, they'll come to see me and they'll know I understand what they're going through and some of the challenges that they have with their families and so forth, because, you know, I've walked the walk. And so some of the things I've learned through my life, I could pass on to them and help them. And that doesn't mean my life is perfect. It doesn't mean that Myung-Cha and I never argue. Less, though, since we've been getting older, we argue less. Maybe arguing is for young people. But we've been doing... But anyway, God gets us through a trial, gets us through the challenge. We see that God helped us get through the trial, and then we could help others. So, number one, it's universal. Folks, you're not alone. Everybody goes through trials. Number two, trials could have a useful purpose. They could mature us in our faith. They could give us the endurance and the patience and the peace that we need. And God can help us understand things from God's perspective. God is teaching us something through a trial. Look for that teaching moment. And from that experience, we learn and grow deeper in our faith, and we can help others do the same. It is all working together to make us more Christ-like. I believe trials make us more Christ-like. Remember what Jesus said in John chapter 15, and I close with this. He said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. And no one could bear fruit apart from me. So Jesus is the vine. Without that life source, if you're not grafted into that life source and somebody clips you, you have no life left. You die. You wither away. And Jesus says, I'm the vine. You're the branches. And you will bear much fruit. And people will recognize you that you are one of my disciples, especially when you're going through a trial. You know, some of my buddies who have come alongside of me when I was going through some difficulties, they stabilized me because I saw in them stability. And it was very helpful in that situation. So Jesus says, you're going to bear much fruit, but you got to stay connected to me. Your branch has to be grafted into the vine, and you'll be able to get through the trial that you're facing. Now, friends, some of you might be going through a trial today. I don't know. Some of you, I do know the trials you're going through. But some of you have come to church this morning, and no one knows that you're going through a trial, maybe except your spouse or somebody very close to you. But I want to encourage you to embrace these biblical truths that James brings to us this morning, that leads to perseverance, that leads to peace, that leads to more patience, that leads to more endurance, especially during trials, and that leads to peace. Can you use more peace in your life? I can. Are you pursuing peace? I think we all are to some degree, right? Don't we all want to put our heads down on our pillow at night and have peace that passes all understanding? Well, James says it's attainable, and so is joy. Put your trust in him. And so I say to you, my brothers and sisters, peace be with you. Amen. I needed that. Thank you. Amen and amen. You know what? Let me just say a quick prayer. Lord, I just want to pray this morning. There may be someone here this morning who might be going through a trial, maybe coming out of a trial, may go into a trial. Lord, we don't fully know what people go through in their lives. Some handle their trials quietly. Others express themselves. But Lord, I just pray that if anyone here this morning or who is under my voice via live stream, that Lord God, that they could give you their trial. They could turn it over to you so that you might lift them up and give them that perseverance, that endurance, that patience, that peace that they need to cope and to grow in maturity and therefore help others who might be in need. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.